All right, have a seat. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing? Good to see everybody. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord with all of you guys. We are the body of Christ, right? Amen. Who's the elbow? Oh, right there. The elbow. Okay. Who's the armpit? No, I'm just kidding. I'll take it. Well, there's two, so let's pray. Not a lot of volunteers for that one. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your truth, Lord, that sets us free. We thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, and that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of a testimony, Lord. I thank you that you have done great things, and we have great things to boast about in you, Lord. And you are our boast. You are our refuge, our strong tower. You are everything, Lord. And so we submit our lives to you now. We submit our heart, ears, our eyes, our minds. We ask that you'd transform us, Lord. We ask that you'd do a work here this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and take them out. And if you need one, there's Bibles in the back of the seats there. We're in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 8 this morning. And we've been working our way through the book of Hebrews, and we've come to the close to the end of the book, but we're also sort of at the apex of all the theology and all the teaching. It's all landing here. And really, that's sort of how the walk with Christ works, or a relationship with Christ works. It's all of our understanding lands on faith. That's the landing pad. It's the land on faith. I know that my life went from extremely complicated to extremely simple and easy once I began to operate from a different grid. And that grid was the grid of faith. Once I started to live by faith, understanding more and more what that looks like and how that works, my life's pretty simple. I just follow the Lord, walk with Him, make decisions based on what He leads me to do in accordance to His Word and the Holy Spirit. And it's just very simple. It's not easy. The Bible says that the battle belongs to the Lord, right? So our battle is the battle of letting the battle be the Lord's. That's where we battle. And it's this grid, or I like to think of it as a blueprint of the way we live our life as Christians. We live it by faith. So we have this blueprint. And this blueprint is a system of belief. It's a way that we approach life. It's a way that we think about things. It's how we make decisions. It's how we live our life. It's by this blueprint of faith. So God has this blueprint. And it's our life. And God wants to build this amazing life that's attractive to the world to Him. So our life is to be built in such a way where God builds it and it's attractive. It draws people to the love of God. And so then we have this blueprint. And this blueprint, then, it's real simple. And I want to ask you guys a question before we get into this message, this teaching. At the start of the year, we had a New Year's Day sermon or whatever. And at the end of that sermon, I said, now, take a sheet of paper and make all your resolutions, just put God on that piece of paper. Do you guys remember that? Those are here. Just put God on that. And then begin to walk in accordance to what God says and who He is. And that's how we live by faith. And so the question is, think about this. Think about your life and think about why you do what you do. Think about what you're doing. Think about what life has for you and why you're doing it. What's the motivation? Why you're doing it? And then think about who you're doing it for. And that'll give you an indication of what blueprint you're following, because there's another blueprint, isn't there? There's a blueprint that looks a little different. It's a blueprint that we have that is really a life that's about us. We make decisions for ourselves. We make moves and choices based on me, myself, and I, based upon my life. And so we start to build this, and we find out how empty it is. We find out that it's unfulfilling. We find out that the greater this building is, the less fulfilling it is, until we shift and start operating from the blueprint of faith. That's how faith works. So we're in this chapter where it starts off, Hebrews 11, it starts off speaking about faith, and it's taking all the previous chapters, which are chapters that are speaking to people who are sort of waffling in their faith. They're being tempted to go back into their previous lifestyle of regulations and rules and stipulations and ordinances and legalism. But that can work in so many different ways when we start to operate from that other blueprint. And so the warning is, Christ is so amazing. Understand who He is, what He's done, the greatness of His grace and His love and His mercy. And now, in chapter 11, now He says, now put that all together and begin to take a step in God's grace, love, and mercy, trusting in Him. To me, I think of faith, it's like base jumping. It's like stepping off a very large building and hope your parachute comes out. It's scary because we have to let go of control. Is that scary for a lot of us? Do a lot of us have these built-in things that make us feel more comfortable about ourselves, about life, about everything? We build these in, and when those get taken away, it's scary. And so we start off, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we get the definition of faith. So faith is just, it's a tangible, real thing that God gives to a Christian, like a sense, like one of our five senses, but it's a spiritual sense, and it's more substantial, real, and clear than any of our other five senses, and it's how we begin to direct our life. It's by that internal operating system, if you will. It's by faith. And so we get these examples. We start to get examples from all the way back in the beginning of time, until it brings us up to our example today, Abraham. Let's take a look at the text here in Hebrews 11, verse 8. And we'll start off with this guy, Abraham, who's known as the father of faith. So it says, now, by faith. That's a key word in this chapter. You might want to underline that or circle that. By faith. Everybody's done things in this chapter. They do it by faith. So by faith, Abraham did something. What did he do? He obeyed. So he has an operating system. He has a grid, a blueprint for some reason, somehow, he understood faith, and so he began to listen to God instead of listening to himself or what others or the world would tell him. So Abraham did something. By faith, he did something. He obeyed. It says, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, and by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. And so we look at this teaching on faith as this starts to unravel. Now we come to Abraham, and this whole section is about the faith of Abraham that connects him with hope. So how does hope work? How do you and I have hope? And how is our faith are operating based on the things that God says versus on the things that the world says, or ourselves says? How does that end up in hope? Hope is one of those words. It's probably an overused word. A lot of people find hope in things. But let's be really clear that this isn't a hope that we win the lottery. This is a hope that we know something's going to happen. We're just waiting for it to occur. This is a substantial faith object where, as we sit here, you and I, if you're a Christian, we have this whole different way of viewing life, that as the world literally is falling apart right now, we are completely anchored in the assurance and the security of everything that God says about us. Abraham was no different. And so Abraham, he was in a place where now his hope begins to take root in God's plan. So that's the first point we're looking at, is that now our hope is rooted in the fact that as Christians, we know that God has a plan for us. So that as we surrender our life to God, then He begins to unfold that plan in our lives. And so to have an anchor like that, we find ourselves very similar to what happened with Abraham, where it says Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. So Abraham, then there's a point in his life where no doubt he was in the land of Ur, very comfortable, prosperous, situated in a place where he probably didn't have a lot to worry about. And God just says, hey, you're going to get called out. You're going to leave something. That's hard to do, isn't it? We develop attachments to things. A lot of times they're very unhealthy attachments. Any attachment to any worldly thing is going to be an attachment that can end up in disappointment. It probably will if that thing takes the place of God in our life. We see this develop and we start to get an understanding of how Abraham thought. But it was his obedience to what God said and a specific movement of God in his life that caused him to go. And I don't know about you, but have you found that Christianity is not a comfortable faith? It's not comfortable to be a Christian. And I just find it so interesting that God is continually working in our life a lot of times to make us feel uncomfortable. Why? Because He's constantly working so that we would feel comfortable in Him and not things. That we would have this great rest in who He is and not in what we have or what we can see. And so God rattles our cage sometimes. He shakes us up. And as He does that, then He's shaking off these attachments that we have. So He's called out. He says he's going to go to a place, but God didn't tell him where he was going to go. He just said, leave. Just go. And there will be an inheritance. And it says he went out not knowing where he was going, but by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. So his faith now was in God's plan. He had to fully trust God's plan. And I ask you the question, have you gotten to a place where you're still in the land of Ur and maybe God's called you out to the inheritance, to the promised land? Are you in a place where you're entrenched to the point where you don't want to be bothered with any new movement of God? When we get to that place, we will find ourselves in a rut. That rut will cause us to fossilize. Because God is a God who likes to move. Now, he doesn't always do these things. So Abraham was in the land of the Chaldees. He was there for a while, and this is a specific moment. But it's funny, if you go back to the book of Genesis in chapters 11 through 21, once God really started to move specifically in Abraham's life, he really moved. And so it's like that, isn't it? Being a Christian is like that. Sometimes it's plodding. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's seeking the Lord and waiting on the Lord. And then God moves. And then he begins to move, and all that previous waiting on the Lord was all in preparation for his movement. And all that was to develop faith in us, right? So now he's on the move, he's going, but have you ever just sort of put yourself in his place and think, wow, just leave? I mean, do you think there are a lot of people around him that said, you're crazy, that's a terrible idea? Where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You have all this great stuff. I don't know. Well, what do you mean? Well, God just told me to go. You're nuts. Yeah, I know. I don't know what to tell you. But faith is like that sometimes. Faith is often very impractical. Faith is something that is hard to make sense of. And I'm not saying to just recklessly do stuff and just hope God blesses it. Better to pray that God would move, that pray that God would do stuff. And then when he does, just stay in line with him. But see, sometimes we make it so much about the things that we're doing that we fail to realize that spiritually we're not even growing. And that's really what God is into, our spiritual growth. And that spiritual growth can be masked or disguised in so many different ways, especially in activity. So we can't mistake activity, serving in church, doing stuff. We can't mistake that for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is different. And hopefully there's activity with the spiritual growth, but growing spiritually is leaving from the things that we're cleaving to. It's learning to walk by faith, and it's learning to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Walking by faith, then, there's a spiritual dynamic in our life that results in this obedience that's hard to explain. And so Abraham was moving because there was a specific speaking to him by God. And as he's on the move, he took this great step of faith. And notice this. He didn't know how this was all going to end up. Don't we like to know how everything's going to end up? I'll take a step of faith, but I want to make sure I know all the steps in place and where this is going to end and what it's going to look like, and if that's favorable to my well-being. And if then that all lines up, then maybe I'll take this little step. God doesn't work like that either. Because that's not faith, is it? Faith is not knowing everything. Faith is taking a step of faith to the little thing that God has opened up to you. And you just take that step. And it's amazing when you do, then the next thing comes. It was just like that for me moving out here. 10 years ago, I talked to my pastor who was just here last week, and he said, Hey, I really think the Lord is calling you to start a church. And that had been on my heart too. And so what do? How does that work? Well, in Calvary Chapels, they don't have a whole system and a formula and all that. They just say, well, what is God doing? I don't know. Aren't you supposed to tell me everything, Pastor Dave? Well, I don't know either. Well, let's just pray about it. So we pray about it. And then these things start to come together, things happen, your heart starts to bear witness of things. And I said, hey, Dave, all I can think about is Texas. Weird, huh? What do? I don't know. Pray about it. Okay. Well, I kind of feel like maybe I should go check it out. He said, well, Any little door that's open, just follow that. I said, well, it's really barely cracked open. I mean, it's like, well, just go through that and see what happens. So I did, and then another door opened, then another door opened, and here I am. And as we took that step of faith, I think back on it, and I think, what if we didn't do that? You know, my kids, you know, have spent the last 10 years of their life here. You know, all those things come in consideration, and all those fears come in, like, what if this and what if that, and I didn't have a job or anything, you know? And it's like, okay, step of faith, right? And I didn't recklessly do that. I knew the Lord was leading that. And so you take that step of faith. And then all these things come together. But I think, well, what if that didn't happen? What if we stayed there? What if I stayed doing exactly what I was doing? I never took a step of faith. How things would have been so much different. And I'm so glad, as scary as it was, that I took that step of faith just to see what God was going to do. And then, so here we have this grid, and it gets scary because we're like, I want to live by faith, and we sing all these songs, and we talk about faith, and faith, 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 faith. And then God says, okay, just take this little step. You're like, whoa, whoa, wow. And we take this little step. It's so scary. And when we do, it's like, I can't imagine not doing this. And then we learn to live by faith and how exciting it is. And how God will never leave us or forsake us. How He'll never let us down. How we'll never have to be ashamed if we just follow Him in faith. So I think it's interesting that faith doesn't exist in what it may know in regards to where, when, why, or how. Faith is in a who. So if you have faith in the who, in the person of Jesus Christ, then you have that confidence because He's working out that plan. And I would ask you again another question: is your life very predictable? Because the Bible says that God will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. So God, basically that scripture is saying that God wants to blow us away with the things that He's doing in our life. He wants to do, do you guys have big thoughts about things? Do you sit around and think about, oh, my future? And I guess it depends how old you are. But we are people that think big things. And God says, what you're thinking about, nothing. Your thing, and I could attest to that. Me just standing here right now, the thought didn't even ever occur in my mind that this would happen. It was just completely a work of God. And not like this is a big thing. I'm just saying, in my mind, God has done way more than my wildest dreams. And I had wild dreams. And I look back at the things that the way I thought my life would be and the way I wanted it to be, and it was just those steps of faith that God has opened up this life that I found out He has been planning that for me all along. So that little step of faith that we have, that God really has a plan for my life. And one of the first scriptures I learned as a Christian was Jeremiah 29:11. You guys know that one, right? For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, and plans for a future and a hope. Well, cool. If God has those plans, then that's the blueprint I want to work off of. That there's where God's telling me that if you walk by faith, there will be good on that road. If you walk by faith, there will be a future and a hope. And I'm a little bit older now, and I could now attest to that. That's true. And I know He has a lot more steps of faith going forward. But see, now I like that. You know, I'd imagine a base jumper the first time would be pretty scary, but after a few times, it's pretty exciting, I bet. And so you learn to live by that blueprint of how exciting it is, but God is going to cause us to be uncomfortable. And the level of our discomfort will be in relationship to the wrong things that we're finding comfort in. And when we just find our comfort in the Lord, then we're always comfortable. Jumping off a building, we're comfortable. We know, hey, it's going to be great. Instead of being afraid, we're like, this is exciting now. It's a whole different thing. So Abraham, as this develops, you'll notice by faith now he's dwelling. And that word translates in the Greek into being an alien in a foreign country, one who doesn't have permanent status. So he left everything, and now he's living in a place that God said, you can have it, but he's looking around and all these other people have it. And God said, this is yours, but he's looking around and it's everybody else's. The Canaanites were all around. And so he's living there, he's tenting, he's camping. And we can look back on this and say, wow, Israel developed through this guy. We're sitting here thousands of years later talking about Israel right now. Because of this. Because of this one guy. And he is the father of faith. And the tribes of Israel, if you're at the Effective Word Conference, you know all the tribes of Israel in order, right? Have you guys practiced that? Can I see a show of hands who knows those? I won't ask you to do it, but I know you do. We've practiced it. Pastor Dave taught us a way to remember the tribes of Israel in order. But you think about that, and I think about the same thing. I think about Abraham did that, and look what faith does. Look how faith blesses. Look how it grows. Look how God worked in Abraham's life. And God's saying that to us right now. What have we done? One thing that we've done where we have just listened to the Lord and stepped out in faith. Done something completely different, impractical, unconventional, but we know God's been speaking to our heart. We stepped out in faith. And when we do that, there's this incredible dynamic of the Lord. So he's tenting, he's there. Probably a lot of questions, but what he's going on is the fact that God had called him, and he knows that he has faith that God has a plan for him. He just doesn't know how it all works out. And his alien status in a place where it should be his own home, I find, is interesting. God's given him it, but he hasn't yet occupied it. And it's like that when we live by faith. And there are many things probably in our life that God has spoken to our life or God is going to do. We don't know yet. And it's just a seed. It's a kernel. It's a promise. It's a hope. And God says, keep walking by faith and watch the thing unfold. And so in verse 10, notice what he says. He says, for he waited. That stinks, right? We hate that part. So he's waiting. But see, we think about waiting on the Lord, and the Bible talks about that a lot. And basically, it means a lot of things don't happen on our timetable. And we have to be very careful when that happens, because when it does, we begin to push things. And the thing is, if we believe God has a plan for us, then we can just let it unfold. We don't have to make it happen. But how do we wait? That's a good question, isn't it? We wait knowing it's going to happen and enjoying the presence of God during, and learning to depend on him, because moving forward in faith, there are going to be greater degrees of trusting in Him and following Him by faith. So God's building all that in as we wait. And He's teaching us this very important lesson, which is, it's not so much about the thing that God is doing all the time. We can't be results-oriented as Christians, because the results are not our department, are they? Whose department are they? God's. We don't make the results happen. God does that. Abide in me and I in you. So we just hang out on the vine pretty much. And just we let the things of God develop in our life. But the key about waiting then, this is so important, is to find our contentment in Christ. I can't stress that enough. Probably, as we sit here, most of our anxiousness and restlessness and frustration and striving to do something or to have something is occurring because we can't just rest in the Lord where we are right now, being thankful and saying, this is all I'm supposed to have right now. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. And I want to encourage you, don't waste your life thinking about the need to have something. Don't waste your life striving after something you don't have. Imagine God's plan unfolding, and if you don't have it, you're not supposed to. Now, can we be okay with that? Can we rest in that? That is so important. Because Satan works on our discontentment. He gets us, or attempts to get us, to walk not by faith, but by our flesh. See, that's what he does. And he comes in a lot of times in our when we're really weak. Do you remember Jesus fasting for 40 days, 40 nights? And then the temptation came. And when we're weak, when we're feeling like we want things. See, ask yourself right now, am I thinking in my mind, if I add this to my life, I'll be happier? We're in trouble if we think that. Because in Christ, we have everything already. And we're thinking, man, if I could just make a little bit more, if I could be a little bit better in school, if I can have just one special friend, or if I could just get married or find the right person or whatever, we are set up for failure. And God says, I have given you everything in Christ. I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so can we say today that as we sit here, that there's nothing that could be added to my life that would make me more satisfied or fulfilled? If not, that's where we need to begin, don't we? If not, it's time to engage the Lord to fulfill our hearts, because probably whatever we're thinking about that we think is going to fulfill us, we know, don't we? It doesn't. It's a trap, isn't it? It's a trap. You get the thing and you find out, oh man, now I want another thing. And then the old thing doesn't seem as good anymore. We're weird like that. The flesh is never satisfied. And so we strive, we work, we try to be better, we try to get more, we try to have, and our minds are constantly thinking bigger, better, greater, more, 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 till finally we just say, hey, this isn't working out too good. I might be on the wrong blueprint. And so, for some reason, Abraham knew that. And watch, we're just going to close with this little part here. Watch this. So he's waiting, and watch this. He says, what is he waiting for? He's waiting for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See that? This is a secret. This is a secret. Why did he leave? Who does that? Why do you just go to some place you don't know where to go just because God said to go? Why do you do that? His mind, his heart, his life was on the blueprint of faith. And watch this. He wasn't looking for anything in this world to satisfy him. If he was, he would not have gone. Right? Why go? I got it made. I live in Flower Mound and I have a pool and a car and a nice job. And why go? Well, if that's our only motivation, if that's what we're living for, we shouldn't. But see, that's the whole key. We, as Christians, we have to understand this point. This is so important. Because there's so much emphasis nowadays on our life in this world. And I want to tell you, this is not heaven and it never will be. We will never find it here. But when we find it in God, interesting thing happens. We find life here much more enjoyable. We can just enjoy all the goodness of the Lord. Because we're not attached to things that can be taken away, that can fail us. And so we have this life that can fully embrace all this world has to offer, but we're not attached to anything. So we're constantly moving in the flow of God, and there's a dynamic of the Holy Spirit where we find that Jesus satisfies me so much, I don't need any of this stuff. It doesn't matter. Because I'm so full. It's like eating a 72-ounce steak and then bringing banana pudding for dessert. You're like, no. Well, when you're filled with Jesus and enjoying Him, He does that. He satisfies. And God has made us fearfully and wonderfully, handcrafted, put us together so that the only way we would really be satisfied is that He satisfies us. He made us that way. And that's why so often we feel the need for, we strive for more, we feel unsatisfied. We're looking in the wrong places for that. So a person, which every Christian should think like this, a person who sees life as a place where it's a launching pad into the place we're really supposed to be, it's not attached in an unhealthy way, we begin to understand the greatness of Jesus Christ. And we have no fear. We're not afraid of doing stuff. Because, you know, you think about how much fear dictates to us how we live. It's sad, isn't it? And I think about that in my own life a lot. Like, if I'm not afraid of doing something, how much more could I have done if I wasn't afraid? If I didn't have all these mental hang-ups, if I just listened to the Lord and just went for it. But see, we have these roadblocks of fear that I hope today we can just look at the goodness and the grace of the Lord and take away all those roadblocks and say, Lord, here I am. Let's do whatever you want. Let's go for it. So we'll finish off with this. Two things. Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for this world were the ones who thought the most of the next. The apostles themselves, great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on the earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. He said, aim for heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. That is so true. And then the last quote by John Corson. He said, you'll never be a man or woman of faith if you're looking for fulfillment here. No matter your ministry, your geographical location, your job, who you marry, you will not find it here. He said, like Abraham, don't look for a city that has foundations on earth. Look for eternity and you'll experience heaven in your heart and you'll be blessed in your soul wherever you are. And so living by faith then is that grid that all that matters is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm just so excited. I've been a Christian for over 30 years now. I have never been more excited about God and the things He's doing and what He's doing in my life ever. And that's because God is more and more real. And the more real He is, the more exciting He is. And the more we live by faith, the more we begin to understand the importance of a life well lived. Only one life, you guys know that? Soon to pass, only what's done for Christ will last. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful to know You and to know that You have a plan for us. And I know over the years, Lord, that it was just really hard to see the plan. But I had the blueprint. And it's a blessing to see Your plan come to fruition. And I know that You're continually building and that You have a blueprint for every person's life here. And I pray just today that we would be able to take a step of faith. If there's anything, Lord, somebody knows here in their heart, they know that You've been doing, they know that You want to do, they just feel You're leading, and they have the open door, but they haven't taken it, I pray for them now. I pray right now that they would just take that step of faith, Lord. That they would venture off that building, trusting You. Knowing that You have a plan. And Lord, I pray for our church body, Lord. I pray for our future. It's just so exciting. And I pray that we wouldn't ever be too comfortable to where we wouldn't respond to You, Lord. I pray that we'd be flexible wineskins. And I pray, Lord, as a church body, that we would have everything that You have for us, Lord. I don't want to miss anything. I pray that You'd help us not drag our feet, not look to our own insecurities or our own barriers or roadblocks, but we would just simply look to You, Lord. And that You would lead us and guide us by Your Holy Spirit wherever You want to go. And this is Your church, Lord. We're just Your servants. Help us to be obedient. And Lord, I just want to pray for anybody here this morning that if they were to die today, they wouldn't know if they were going to go to heaven or not. Abraham lived here for heaven. He looked for heaven. He had the assurance of heaven. And I pray the same for all of us here, and just want to give the opportunity, if anybody is here and wants their sins forgiven, if anybody is here and they want to just be certain that they're going to go to heaven when they die, you have to know that the Bible says that we have all sinned, every one of us, which means that we have fallen short of the glory of God. Our sin separates us from God. And the wages or penalty of sin is death, separation from God. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. took our place, that whoever would believe in Him would not die without Him, but would be forgiven and have eternal life. And so if you're here this morning and you would like to do that, you can do that right here, right now, right in your seat, right where you are, by saying a prayer like this. You're talking to God. You're meaning this in your heart. You say something like this: Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know, Lord, I need You to forgive me. And so, Lord, I take now an act of faith by turning from my sin to You and asking You to forgive me. I believe in You, Lord. I believe in what You did on the cross. I believe You rose again from the dead. Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit and help me to walk with You. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, meant it in your heart, the Bible says that God will forgive your sins, fill you with the Holy Spirit, you'll be a child of God, and you'll spend eternity in heaven with Him. And so, Father, as we close, we just want to give all the glory to You. We thank You. We pray that You'd do a radical work, or continue a radical work here, Lord. We thank You that You have a blueprint for this church body and for each of our individual lives, Lord. Help us, Lord, to operate from Your blueprint by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.